Something for the weekend. Good morning. It is Trina here, and I'm thrilled to have Mike Sheridan on the line. Morning, Mike. How are you doing?
Not too bad, Trina. How are you?
Long time no see. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, myself and Mike used to do a lot of work together, actually, going off to interview all the stars in London. And I still remember, Mike, the day that we were in a restaurant, there was a gang of us. There was Aisling O'Loughlin from Expose. There was one of the other radio guys. I can't remember who it was. And there was your man, Dave Grohl, sitting at the table next to us. And I was going, who? Who's he? And you nearly died when you saw this guy, didn't you?
Yeah, I remember that as well. I think it was Gordon Hayden, and I'm a huge Foo Fighters fan. And yeah. I just didn't want to bother him. He's with Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age. And I really wanted to go over and like shake his hand and say hello, but I was too shy.
You didn't want to bother. You probably should have gone over when you think of it. That was an opportunity missed, wasn't it, to get that selfie?
Say hello.
So come here, you're doing your own thing now, and it is The Delve, which is a podcast, and you're putting up videos as well on YouTube. Tell me all about the style that you're going for now, because before it was all about the movies, really, wasn't it? And there were so many. I mean, you've really interviewed everybody in Hollywood at this point. And before we move on, Mike, actually, who was the nicest and who was the worst person you ever interviewed? People always ask me that one.
Oh God, I know, people always ask that, don't they? And the nicest, like, there's so many. The first person I ever interviewed was Adam Sandler. He's the first person I ever interviewed on camera. Remember when he came over to Dublin years ago?
Yeah, we went out with him that night. We had a party
He was here for a few weeks. He was great crack. He really enjoyed it here. So he was the first person I ever interviewed, and he was so lovely. I thought they would all be like that. As you know yourself, it turns out that's not always the case.
Yeah.
But he was such a sweet guy and very patient. So I was very nervous. It was my first time. Yeah. I remember looking back, and those rooms are very hot, particularly the junket rooms. So for people that don't know, they're the hotel rooms that are set up with about 15 people in them.
Yeah.
A camera crew, lighting, sound people. So they're very hot rooms, and I had no idea. So I looked at it back. I looked at the camera footage back, and you could have seen your reflection on my forehead. I was sweating buckets, I was. But he was so lovely. I thought it was the war. Well, some people are just not in the form, you know yourself. And a long, long time ago now, and I was probably the wrong person to do the interview, but I'd say she was 16 at the time, was Miley Cyrus.
Oh.
She's probably like, who is this dude? So I interviewed her for, I think it was Hannah Montana. And she just wasn't in the form, and just was 16, and was a teenager, and was like, I want to go and hang out one day. But that was one of those where you get up at like half four in the morning to go over to the UK on a red eye, you get a very short amount of time with somebody, maybe 4 or 5 minutes, and then afterwards you're like, why was I, like, what is this?
Yeah, what is this life? I know, exactly. We used to get up like at 3 o'clock in the morning, so you go over, you get your flight, and then you rush from the airport, and you try and get, you might be even doing a red carpet that night. And if the person doesn't stop for you on the red carpet, you've basically wasted your entire day. So I used to be determined. I was like, I'm not going back to Dublin without getting an interview. And I used to always get one. But I got to say, I think it was the day that, I know this interview isn't about me, we'd have to talk about this. Bruce Willis, my God, everyone was saying, oh, what a legend. You're going to interview Bruce Willis. It was horrendous. And he wouldn't do a photograph. And then when he finally agreed to do a photograph at the end, he wouldn't look at the camera. And he said, if the picture ended up online, he'd come and hunt me down. So that was kind of cool.
That's a better story. That's a better story. You have your Bruce Willis story now. It's better than if you just took the picture,
Bruce
Willis has to put me down.
It's so glamorous.
People think it's one thing, and then when you're over there, it's like you might as well be sitting in a dentist waiting room on a conveyor belt ready to win a job or something. That's why I did the show, to be honest. So I started the show a few years ago, and I was doing a for entertainment.ie, and it's gone independent now. I left entertainment.ie last year. Still have a really good relationship with the guys in there, and I bought the show a few months back when the pandemic hit as a way to kind of interview people on a platform to interview people. So I've been choosing interviews high definition my side, pretty much like what they can do with the talk shows in the US, recording Zoom their side. The first guest is still for her. The whole point of the show is called The Dells, and the whole point of the show is instead of that 4 or 5 minute junket setup where it's really difficult to get any sort of connection with somebody and have a couple of, like, an authentic conversation with them.
Mm.
We just try and have the chat. We try and have a conversation and get them comfortable. And that's generally when you get better stuff.
Absolutely.
So that's
what
I've been doing. They're all about 25, 30 minutes long. I've got Anthony Scaramucci, who was the head of comms in the White House for Donald Trump.
Wow.
And he's all over CNN and MSNBC. I've got Amanda Knox as well this week, too. it's a wide array of guests. It's kind of an eclectic mix of guests.
It's not just entertainment, though. It's interesting people.
Exactly, yeah. That's the whole point of it. Has anybody ever read a book in the last few months about a guy called Chris Voss, who was the chief hostage negotiator for the FBI for years and has a master class and stuff? So essentially, if I read a book or if I saw somebody doing a show or something that I had made and I thought, this person's kind of interesting, I pursued them to do an interview. And whereas the last interview we did for the Delve last year on location was Keanu Reeves. We went over to London and shot with him. We had an exclusive with him for the last John Wick movie. We thought we were great because we're getting a little bit longer and we got to be 20, 25 minutes with Keanu Reeves, you know? God, this is brilliant. We're getting to sit down when we flew a crew over with us. And then when we arrived in there, we had a very strict window. You know, these things are they're very strictly policed that when you get there, you've got a very, very, very specific amount of time with them if you go over or, you know, the PRs and stuff will kick off. So. When we arrived in Heathrow, long story short, Trina, the airline had actually lost half our equipment.
Oh, great. Ideal, yeah.
So the tripods, basically Charlotte, who was the camera person that day, brilliant. She had the camera on her backpack and she had some lapel mics on her backpack, but the tripods and all the kind of, like a lot of the stuff you would use to shoot it were left in Dublin. And we had an hour to get to Soho from Heathrow. So basically, Keanu Reeves and his publicist walk into the room. And Charlotte was resting two cameras on the shelves with hooks holding them up. And I think she had a boom box that was in the Soho Hotel. So this $10 million publicist of one of the biggest movie stars in the world walking, and they're like, what did we sign up for here? Oh. But he was he's always brilliant anyway.
Yeah.
And he got a good kick out. But actually, it was one of those things as well, I think, where it broke the ice a little bit and he was kind of making fun of us and we were having a bit of crack about it.
Yeah, actually, I remember interviewing Chris O'Dowd for Moon Boy when Moon Boy came out. And on the day, my equipment completely failed, right? On the way over there, I was like, oh, God. And I had to bring a really old piece of recording equipment. And when I got there, he's looking at this old brick going to me, is that the best you can do? And then we had to pretend, I said, I'm just doing retro because this is a Moon Boy interview, so I thought we'd go all 1980s and get out the 1980s gear. So there's always a way around. I love the fact that you've got much more time because, yeah, like what you say, you're just about getting into a conversation and the publicist in the corner is telling you to wrap up and you're like, what? I only said hello and now I have to go.
Exactly, and it's tricky as well, I think, because even if, and it's not on them either, you know, a lot of the time, if they're, you know, if the person before them could have asked a tricky question about it, because you're talking to big, big name people, and the person before could have asked an annoying question, they could just be tired, they could be jet lagged, that happens all the time, and the majority of those interviews happen in the UK, like some of them will happen abroad in the US, which is even worse, all the way over there. And it doesn't go great. But it's a tricky one because it's a surreal setup. And I think the way I'm doing this now, and I think people are more accepting of it now because of the pandemic, because Colbert and Conan O'Brien and everybody's been doing it, that they're in their home.
Yeah.
So they're literally sitting there in their office or wherever they are, and they're just a bit more open to having a chat. So I'm more blown away by the fact that I've been able to get these, because there's no publication involved now, you know, it's all me, that I've been able to get these people on board and get them to be able to do the show. And like Bill Burr is somebody I was obsessed with. I didn't tell him this because he'd think it was weird,
but you're a bit of a stalker.
But to have a conversation with him and to have it go so well, for him to be sitting in his house for like half an hour, really, really surreal. So
I guess
I'd love to keep doing the show. I'd love to keep doing different seasons of the show, but like I've 10 episodes this season, and you know yourself, Trina, we have to chase people down as well to get guests and to do all the bits and bobs. You're doing everything yourself. It can be stressful, but when you see the interactors and it's gone well,
it's brilliant. I guess the fact they're at home and they don't have anyone listening to what they're saying or stopping them answering a particular question. I used to hate that when you'd ask a very innocent question and then the publicist would step in and say, oh, sorry, they're not going to answer that. You're kind of going, what? Do you have to submit your questions first? Have any of them asked to see what you're going to be asking them? Or is it very kind of, do you kind of just come up with the questions as you go, or do you plan it?
One thing I try and do is, like a lot of people will take cue cards and have the questions written down or have bullet points written down. I try not to do that. I try and memorize them because I just feel like if you break eye contact, this is just my way and I'm a weirdo. Mm. But it's great eye contact to make the conversation feel less real, not that like a room full of people.
Yeah, it'd be like pulling out a cue card on a date or something, wouldn't it? Imagine I've got a list of questions for you to answer.
It's a bit strange, you know, but I've never had anybody ask to pre-approve the questions. Although, when you know, for the bigger movie stars on the way in, they have said stuff like, don't ask about this, don't ask about that. Mm. Which I mean, I guess is fair enough. The publicists have to do their jobs. Like, I'm dealing with a lot of them now directly, and you know, a lot of these people are on silly, silly money, and the jobs are basically to protect these big, big name actors, because if they don't, the reverberation, the ripple effect of what they said is everywhere. Remember that I hosted the premiere of Noah in Dublin with Russell Crowe years ago in the Savoy, and I remember the time thinking, you got a boy mess up here now. There's a bit of pressure from both sides, so I get where the publicists are coming from 100%, but I don't think the junkets are going to happen like that anymore. I think they're expensive to set up. I don't think they get a huge amount for it. I think we'll be seeing a lot more of these type of Zoom interviews. Now, you mightn't get a huge amount of time with them, and it doesn't mean they're going to be in good form, but I think it probably means that they will be in generally better form.
I think that it definitely cut back in the last while, anyway, in the last couple of years, because, I mean, yourself and myself and all the people who worked in entertainment would have been over in London several times a week, you know, doing interviews. There hadn't been that many in the last couple of years. I think maybe they were paring it back a little bit.
Yeah, we're kind of like a core cousin to the UK in terms of outlets. Like, you would get shoved to the back a lot for a big name movie star, and then somebody from Empire Magazine or the BBC bowl in and bowl out, and you're like, I just want to catch a flight.
Yeah.
You don't understand the stress here.
But mind so you, it actually worked in my favour once being Irish, because there was a Christian Bale roundtable interview in Paris. And for anyone who doesn't know, a roundtable is where a load of journalists will come in and they all just kind of stick in your microphone, so you don't get a one-on-one interview with the person. And then he didn't want to talk to the UK media, you know, so everyone was kind of there from various countries around Europe. And as soon as he heard I wasn't from the UK, I was Irish, there was no problem getting an interview. I love when that happens. You kind of use the Irish thing in your favour as well.
That's it as well. Like, and it's so many of them have Irish Irish ancestors or Irish connections, stuff like that as well. And I mean, I have to be honest with you, when we've got some people who, I've reached out to some people who were ran for president in the US this season as well.
Wow.
And I looked at the second names and I was like, do they have Irish second names?
Mind people you, like, when they start going on about that, you're like, oh, here we go again.
I just had to get it out. Bill Burr told me a brilliant Irish story as well. People have to watch or listen to it to see it and follow on to it justice. But he's somebody who's obviously a stand-up comedian and has toured the world, and him and his wife love her here. And so it does help a lot as well. You're dead right, I think. Because I think the British press, rightly or wrongly, it's obviously not all of them, but they do kind of have a bad reputation for prying and all that.
But we just do it in a kind of a sneaky way. They trust us, you know. So The Delve, Mike, where can we get it? Tell me all about it.
You can listen to it. It's a podcast. It's available everywhere. Just search The Delve with Mike Sheridan, or it's a YouTube channel as well. So there's a whole back catalogue of interviews on the YouTube channel. People like Tom Hardy, Henry Cavill, Jordan Peterson, Dave Rubin. Then this season, it's on YouTube as well. We launched with Bill Burr. Anthony Scaramucci is going to be the second guest. And then we have like a whole other bunch of people, really, really interesting people that I really, really hope people like and are reverberate for people. Because, Trina, to be honest with you, this is all me. If nobody else to blame. People don't like me, you know. You take the credit, but I have to take the blame as well.
So just like him. He's a nice fella, Mike Sheridan. Listen, the best of luck. I actually said, I don't know whether I want him on because people will be listening to his podcast instead of my radio show. But look, we'll let you off.
They can listen to the podcast anytime. That's the thing.
Yeah. So do that during the night and not while I'm on. Okay. All right. Listen, thanks a million, Mike. The best of luck with the Delve, and look forward to seeing all the interesting people you have lined up. God, imagine if you got Mr. Trump himself. That'd be a good one, wouldn't it?
That'd be a good one. They'd be fairly cancelled fairly quickly on Twitter after even speaking to him, clean it up.
Yeah.
A few followers out with us.
Lovely. Mike, best of luck. Talk to you soon. This is Something for the Weekend.
Thank you, Bill. Take care. Bye-bye.